Mo Dogs, that's really what it is, you know.
This is 4th Street, and we got Mo Dogs on 88.5 this year.
3, 2, 1.
It's that time of the day. Welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning student podcast covering all things Golden Eagles. Street, it is your host here, Smooth Aust. With the rest of the gang, to my left, I have Dima, Nathan, and to my right, I have Jackson and Charlie. How are you guys doing today, man?
Percolating.
Oh, doing good.
Percolating like Miss Gloria says in the Fresh, if you know her. So, guys, we have a special show as always. But before we get into things, first off, Southern Miss won a game this week, guys. 64-14 against Northwestern State. Just first impressions, if we got any.
We're going to get into it, but obviously the 28-point favorites coming in, but I don't think anybody expected to see 64 points on the board.
Yeah, Southern Miss did what they were supposed to do, so that's all you can really ask for in that game.
Of course, of course. But without further ado, we will preview our show. We have special guests on with us today. We have the head coach of the men's golf team in Eddie Brescher and Pat Ratnanayan with us, who just came off winning first place at the Jim Rivers Intercollegiate, where they excelled. Phenomenal. They played phenomenal. Starting off the season, guys, in the debut. So that was phenomenal, and we'll talk to them later. We'll have them on later, but without further ado, let's hop into our Eagle Eye, and as always, we'll give flowers later in our show. But I'll hand it over to you, Charlie. Let's kick a goal.
So we've been covering soccer for the last couple weeks, and obviously them starting their first Sun Belt games. We read it during the football game and saw a 3-1 victory. We were like, wow, against Marshall to start off that conference play. So Ryan Smith first scored in the 28th minute, followed by a goal from Bernadette Stefan on an assist from Esmeralda Figueroa, and then she scored one herself on an assist from Ilana Izquierdo. So the attack in the SEC games was kind of a question. They've been outshot in every single game, including this one, but here they converted pretty much half of their opportunities that they got. So Alex Helbing also came up with 5 saves and earned a win to her record. So it's a pretty big way to start the Sun Belt Conference slate for the Golden Eagles. And that SEC competition looks like it might have paid off. And we'll see if that's true when they face Louisiana Monroe this Thursday, again on the road at 7 p.m.
Yeah, moving over to volleyball now. And the Golden Eagles face probably their first speed bump of the season as they had a losing record in the Jacksonville State Invitational. They started off with a loss to Auburn in 3 sets, and then they lost to the Jacksonville State Gamecocks in 4 sets. The Golden Eagles would bounce back against Jackson State in 4 sets, thanks to Mia Wesley's 16 kills and another double-double from Kenzie Smith. Mia Wesley finished with 52 kills, and she continues to climb up those national rankings. She has just been an absolute star this year. The Golden Eagles will host South Alabama this Friday and Saturday to open up Sun Belt Conference play.
And then, of course, we have men's golf. I guess we're going to talk about how they did, but just to kind of preview, they won the Jim Rivers Intercollegiate for the first time since 2013, and it was pretty exciting, it seems. Pat just beat out, I think it was Owen Stamper from Middle Tennessee by 1 stroke. We're going to talk to him about that. And they also just beat the Blue Raiders by a stroke in the team standings, too, to end the event with a tournament record low 836 stroke total. So really impressive way to start the season.
Yeah, moving over to tennis. The women's tennis earned 2 titles in the Northwestern State Invitational. Clara won in her finals matchup along with Hannah Chambers. And the Golden Eagles will head to the ITA Regionals in Baton Rouge this Thursday.
And, of course, you talked about Northwestern State. Southern Miss football was not only the only team to get a win against Northwestern State in the Invitational. But without further ado, we'll take things over to football. We have our weekly wrap that we'll discuss and talk about afterwards and see where our heads are. So without further ado, Sky, play this clip.
Let's get it.
Southern Miss got out on the right track this week with a dominating victory against Northwestern State, 64-10.
We needed to execute in all three phases for four quarters, regardless of who the opponent was.
Coming into the week, Zach Wilkie will be named the starter for the Golden Eagles at quarterback. But as the game went on, Southern Miss would utilize the two-quarterback system. After a 6-0 lead, quarterback Ty Keys would come in for Wilkie and explode the offense with a 40-yard touchdown to Jakarius Caston, who would tiptoe down the sideline in the end zone, making it 13-0 Golden Eagles in the first.
I thought I stepped out of bounds, so I was just trying to jog down the sideline. I thought I was out, but I kept going. And like the crowd told me, see, I was still in.
After a scooping score by the Golden Eagles at 20-0, the Golden Eagles will tack on two more touchdowns and close out on a 89-yard reception by Jalen May from Ty Keys on a slant route to make it 41-0 at half. And that in the pressure, Coach Hall will leave the QB competition up in the air between Wilkie and Keys for the upcoming week.
I got no idea, man. We got a whole week of practice. You know what I mean? And practice matters here. Practice matters a whole lot here. Yep. I look forward to coaching them on Monday. I look forward to coaching them on Tuesday. And it's going to be a fun week. It's going to be a fun week.
For yet another week, the Golden Eagles defense would excel, only allowing 16 rushing yards on the night with four sacks and one interception. The Golden Eagles defensive coordinator, Austin Armstrong, would suffer a loss in his family.
Right, nasty bunch. He's probably going to get mad at me for saying it, but I can't help it because I love him so much. Austin Armstrong's mother died this week. Her funeral was Friday, and that was in York, Alabama. And Austin drove over there and handled all that and drove back and was at every practice, planned every practice, gave the eulogy at the funeral on Friday, okay, was back for Friday night meetings, didn't miss Friday practice, okay. And I don't know how many people in here who's had a mother that's passed. I have. That's not an easy thing to go through. It's not an easy thing to handle. But there's a lot of kids here that count on him. You know what I mean? And that's what this world needs is more Austin Armstrongs. You know, we need more people that when times are hard, they still are there for everybody that's dependent on them.
We want to send condolences to Austin Armstrong's family and the loss of his mother to start off, guys. But without further ado, let's hop into just the main topic of the week, the QB topic, guys. Zach Wilkie or Ty Keys? I know that we had a immediate reaction after the game, and that was a question that was brought up. Would we take Zach Wilkie right now or Ty Keys? They're definitely in a battle right now, and like Coach Hall said, he's looking forward to Monday, which was today, and tomorrow, which is competition Tuesday. So that'll be interesting to see, but let me just get y'all first thoughts on who would you take right now to lead the Golden Eagles offense after the performance against Northwestern State and Zach Wilkie's performance against Miami?
I can jump in here. I think it's important to understand when you have a starting quarterback, right, you want to get your starting quarterback in rhythm with the offense. So each week we keep doing this. Like last week, we were all like, oh, it's definitely Wilkie. Definitely Wilkie has to start. And then after, you know, three plays, basically, we saw Ty Keys break off those long touchdowns to Caston. And, you know, three passes that were long plays were on the stat line. You know, it looks like Ty Keys had a phenomenal day, obviously. But when you actually watch the game, when you watch the – obviously, it's against Northwestern State, and they're playing Tulane this week. That's a different opponent.
Yes.
So it's – I think for me, it's still Zach Wilkie because I still think that Zach Wilkie played very well against Miami, and not I can't say yet if Ty Keys could have played at that same level. So just for that reason, taking the Northwestern State game out against an actual formidable opponent, because I think any quarterback could have gotten back there and done what Ty Keys and Zach Wilkie both did. So any if you take that element out and just take what it is, I think Zach Wilkie has to start. And you have to have a starter. We said this on the preview pod for Northwestern State. You can't keep having this, maybe this week this, maybe this week this. And Will Hall said, yeah, it's a great situation to be in. And I agree with him. It's a great situation to be in where you have two quarterbacks. But, you know, big teams like Ohio State, for example, they have two great quarterbacks, two five stars, but they're not saying Kyle McCord's going to play over C.J. Stroud. You know, they're saying C.J. Stroud, you got to pick one, and so your offense gets in rhythm with that quarterback.
You're right, Demon. Michigan's doing that.
Yeah, Michigan is doing that.
But I wanted to say, you know, I've been thinking about that. And going into the season, Ty Keyes was the, you know, clear number one QB. And for me, Zach Wilkie has looked better. I mean, we saw him, you know, shred Miami in that first half, basically. He looked better than Tyler Van Dyke. But I see it as if you start Wilkie, it's like, you know, that says something about Ty Keyes. Ty Keyes is in his second year. Obviously, his year got cut short last year, and then you're judging his performance off of one game earlier this season against Liberty, which he got hurt in, too. So I see starting Zach Wilkie as kind of cutting it short on Ty Keyes.
Will Hall's not going to say this publicly, and I don't even know if he's going to say this privately, but barring injury, that was probably the worst-case scenario that could have happened because you had your starter in Zach Wilkie, and he was frankly outperformed by Ty Keyes against Northwestern State. So now he has a really tough decision, and he talked about in the presser that he's comfortable with going with two quarterbacks. He's done it before at the lower levels, but it's really interesting to see because I believe, like Deemley, you said, and I know we're not as good a situation as Ohio State is, but you got to have a guy, right? You got to have a starter. You got to have a backup, in my opinion. I think that's how you create successful environments in college locker rooms. And it's really interesting to see because Will Hall could go either way, and I don't know if we could blame him. Wilkie, I would go with him because he did well against Miami, but he looked less than stellar at times against Northwestern State, whereas Ty Keyes was on point. So he has an interesting decision. I know we might know by Wednesday, but we probably will not know until Tulane. I expect both of them to play.
Bold take by Jackson right there, but I would definitely have to agree, Jackson, just off the statement that you said that, hey, it was kind of a worst-case scenario when you think about it with Wilkie getting outplayed by Keyes when – you know, you thought Wilkie was the guy coming in Miami. He played a great first half. And you guys have a valid point also, Dima and Charlie, that Wilkie has been the guy. He looked phenomenal against Miami. We don't know what Ty Keyes would have looked like against Miami. And that's something that we will never find out right now. But it will be interesting to see what happens coming up in the coming days. I think it will be interesting. And you also mentioned the fact of the two-quarterback system, but that was also on the lower levels. I'm not sure if that would be able to work on a you know, Division I scale as it has more than likely on the Division II scale for Will Hall. So that would be interesting to see. Also, I would like to point out that Tulane right now is 3-0. They are coming off a win against Kansas State right now, a 17-10 win, which was kind of an upset a little bit right there, but I was not too shocked about it, but that is something to take into account right now. Go ahead, Dima. I know you have something.
Yeah, and I kind of talking about that. I was talking with Kella Camarda, which is kind of a preview of what's to come later in this week, as I've been doing the weekly interviews with other beat writers from other schools from who Southern Miss is going to play in football, and he was saying that something that Tulane fans are kind of not worried about but really keen in on is they, just because they know Will Hall came from Tulane, they do not know what is the offense Southern Miss is going to run just as much as Southern Miss, and we all don't know what offense Southern Miss is going to run. And, like, I asked this question, like, if everything would have gone perfectly against Liberty and they still would have lost, would Ty Keyes have started against Miami?
I think so.
Okay. Because so if that answer is yes, then, in my opinion, why wouldn't he start against Tulane if he's healthy?
That's exactly what I'm saying, just because there's a final statement on this. But, you know, you go into the season, like I said, QB1, what does that do to him, his tenure at Southern Miss, if you, you know, go with the true freshman? I mean, he was brought here to be kind of the future, and obviously we're judging him off of really just not even a handful of games. I think it's unfair not to go with him. Especially, you can't judge based off of the competition he played last week either.
Whatever choice he makes, he's going to have to get it right because this is a Tulane team that went to Manhattan, Kansas, and only gave up 10 points against a pretty good Kansas State team. So that defense is going to be a lot better than Northwestern State was. So it's really going to be a challenge. And Southern Miss, Will Hall, he's got his work cut out for him, so we'll have to see which way he goes.
Yes, and just to add to that, the discussion we had on just right after the game, I think that whichever quarterback you go with, you have to know that guy will be able to execute shoot. And, you know, this is a monumental decision for the season because whichever guy you go with, you have to stick with at this point. There's no going back. So he has to choose the guy that he believes can execute the most. And kind of, we don't know yet on our side yet, just being a journalist side. We don't know because we've not seen enough of them yet to decide which one. Because on the flip side of things, we've only seen Ty Keyes for a handful of games. So, you know, we've only seen Wilkie for a handful of games. So that's something that will be interesting to take into account.
Yeah, and I do agree with Will Hall that, like, this is, you know, 3 weeks ago we were sitting in here after the Liberty game, or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was.
Yes.
And we were saying, you know, are we going to run the superback or a quarterback on Saturday? And now we're trying to figure out which quarterback to run. So, you know, I think that's a way better situation to be in than they were after the Liberty game. On that note, I do think the defense will keep them in the game enough. It's just which quarterback is going to help them have the best opportunity to win on Saturday.
We've been talking about offenses the whole time, and we're going to wrap up. But,
yes.
I mean, this last minute, we can just say that the defense has done their job every single game. Even last year, we knew that they were going to bring it this year. Jackson, we were going to kind of pick on you because they do look better than last year, and that's saying something. And again, just shout out to Coach Armstrong just being able to coach this game.
Yes.
And, we didn't know that. I mean, he looked like he was still bringing the energy.
Intensity.
Yeah, yes. And the teammates, it looks like they love him. They really love him. And he's made an impact here.
He's going to be a head coach somewhere.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. We're definitely still sending our prayers to Coach Armstrong. But without further ado, we're going to take a break, and we will be back with our special guest. We have head coach of the men's golf team, Eddie Brisher and Pat Ratnanayan coming on with us. They just won the Jim Intercollegiate Tournament. We'll be back. Jim Rivers Intercollegiate Tournament. We'll be back.
This is the 4th Street Sports Show on Southern Miss Radio.
Welcome back to 4th Street. As always, you know we play California Love on 4th Street, guys. And we are back with our special guest, welcoming on head golf coach here, Eddie Brisher and Pat Ratnanayan. Excuse me if I mispronounce it, but I'm trying my best here, man. So welcome on. How are y'all doing today?
Pretty good. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming on. How you doing, Coach?
Doing good. Thanks for having us today, guys. Appreciate
it. Of course. So, guys, if you don't know, they are coming off their first-place win, guys. Their first win at the Jim Rivers Intercollegiate Tournament since 2013, where they started their season out. And Pat here actually went and finished 11 under par, taking an individual medal, taking first place. So, Pat, could you just tell me just your overall thoughts of the tournament, man, and just how was the feel just to get this first place win here?
Oh, I mean, it's a first up in 4 years for me, so basically technically it means a lot, and it's so tough to win a golf tournament. It's like 120 guys on the field, coach.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
I mean, it's so tough to win, and well, at first just try to be my best at the day, and somehow my second day my putter got so hard, and then it like 6 under, tie for a lead, and then last day I tried. I actually hardly sleeping on the last night. My roommate Randall Puy told me, "Oh, I hear you flipping over all the night." I'm like, "I'm sorry, man. I'm so nervous." I come out last day, play pretty good too.
Well, I will say this too. I remember specifically now. I'm on a little bit different routine as a dad. But I did wake up at about 3:30 in the morning, ready to roll, wide awake, and just thinking, man, can we get to the box right now and start this thing? So it's kind of a thing for all of us golfers. We're itching to get to the tee when we have a chance to win. So.
And for both of y'all, y'all started the event out strong. So what is it like to, you know, carry that momentum on through 3 days? Was there anything, you know, you were telling the team, like just strategy going in and just like the morale, you know, trying to keep, you know, your head straight going into those last 2 days?
So, I mean, the biggest thing about our program that we've got is, you know, we preach it to the guys all the time. It's a brotherhood. You know, you guys are so close. You spend so much time on the road, you know, in the airplanes and traveling and just going all over the country to play tournaments that you try to rally around each other. You know, there is a lot of pressure in golf because you kind of feel like you're on an island when you're playing. And as a coach, it's kind of weird because this is really the only sport in coaching where I've got a player over here, and then I've got another player that's about a mile away, and they both count exactly the same for the team score. So it's kind of hard to balance that. But, I mean, our guys are experienced veterans. You know, we've got a lot of fantastic talent in our roster and in our lineup that's at this tournament we just played in, that I just try to put that trust in the guys that, you know, my job is to make sure we get them there on time. First of all, develop them while we're at home, you know, making sure they're getting the reps in that they need. And then when we get to the tournament, it's a little bit different than other sports, whereas my job is to just kind of let the horses run, you know, because they've done the work. Once you get to the tournament, it's green light go. It's time to just let the horses go.
And coming into, you know, the first tournament of the season and winning, just as your experience as a coach, you know, what does that mean for this season? Like, how do you build off of that?
So this is huge. And comparative to other sports, you know, like your soccers and basketballs and baseballs and footballs and all that, they play against one other program when they compete. So our football team right now is 1-2 on the year. All right. So they've only got three teams to go off of. This one tournament that we played was against 21 teams.
Wow.
So when we look at it from a golf perspective, we are actually 20-0 through our first tournament of the year. That's also how we're ranked on a national scale with GolfStat.
Wow.
For the NCAA selection process. So at the end of the year, I mean, you're probably going to play upwards of, say, 150 to 200 teams, depending on your schedule. So if we go to a tournament with 15 schools, we still want to finish seventh or higher to have a winning record in that event. If not, then it's actually going to, you can technically say, okay, you had a losing record this week. You lost that game, so to speak, in our sport. But in if you finish in golf in the top five, that's really your goal. You know, a 15-team field, which is average, you finish top five, you know, you're in the top third, you're leaving with a very good win percentage on the week, 66% win percentage. So,
wow. Now, just run me back on this too, Coach, like just the day before the final round. Could you just tell me what were you telling Pat in his ear just to keep him going and just keep him from tossing and turning out of his head a little bit?
Well, I will say this, okay? I'm a little bit more, I'm not a micromanager type of coach. I have trust in my players. I'll say this about Pat. He has not given us one issue on the coaching side of things since he's been in Hattiesburg for 3 years. He's never been late to anything. He's never had an issue with a teammate, nothing like that. This guy's been first class ever since he stepped foot in the city of Hattiesburg. So having that as a coach, I trust him to go out and perform at an elite level, even when he doesn't have his A game. And he can tell you right now, so the practice round,
oh yeah, I play so bad. Like, he actually say, like, well, Pat, you aim off the line like 40 yards, right? Like, oh well, I know that because I'm all over the place on the practice round, and then I'm kind of like, oh, I just sit up right and hit the ball.
Yeah. That's so it. His alignment's really off. You know, I'm watching him as he's practicing. I'm like, man, he's supposed to be aiming at the flag. He's aiming at the right bunker. I'm like, what's going on here, bud? But that's routine maintenance in golf. You know, that's just part of it. You kind of get offline, and so you kind of need a set of eyes to help get you back on track. But to answer your question, I don't really have to say a whole lot. You know, he's an all-conference player. He's a proven winner. I have that trust in him, and to not even known this guy 5-6 years ago, and for us to have that kind of trust in each other as a coach and a player and as a program, that didn't happen overnight. But we're at the point now to where it's like, hey, I'm going to get you to the tournament. I'm going to provide you with all the resources you need to be successful. But when we get there, it's go time. Mm-hmm. I trust you to want to go out and kick everyone's rear end. So.
Yeah, and Pat, you know, for me, it's like a victory just to get the ball in the fairway when I play golf. You know? So what was your reaction when you just won that medal? Like, what was your immediate reaction when you won the tournament?
Tell them about the final putt.
Oh, actually, I got to tell them about final hole.
Yeah,
go to the final hole. I'm on the tee box, I'm so sweating, I can't even feel my hands. My hands are numb. Like, I tried to clean my hand, drink some water, try to get slow as I can at that point, because I don't want to be like rush, hurry, get my adrenaline up and kind of that. And I hit a bad shot too. I hit the way, right? And then you kind of figure it out, hit it on the green, have two tough putt for the win, and have five footer for the last putt to win. And it's happened again. My hand is numb. And somehow I make it.
And see, that's where, it, as someone who's been around this game for a long time, I knew that. I knew exactly what he was thinking. I knew what he was feeling. I've had the pleasure of being in those situations at his age before. So to know what he's going through in that moment, it's very important for me as a coach to kind of step in and give him that comfort of, hey, and again, what he's talking about is that approach shot he hit into the green. It was a back right flag tucked over a bunker. If you're in the bunker, you're dead. The ball's sitting up about 2 inches off the ground in the rough, and I kind of noticed that when we rode up. He's been hitting down really, really steep on the ball all week, which is not good when the ball's sitting up in the air.
Yep.
Okay, so I made sure he understood, look, you got to choke up on this about an inch on your club and try to pick it off the grass. If you do, the ball's going to come off fine, your normal distance, you'll be middle of the green, you'll have a little bit of work for a two-putt par, but I knew he had a one-shot lead, and that was our game plan. So in that moment, I'm trying to reiterate that to him as a coach, to kind of help him focus on what he needs to and not focus on the result and the fact that there's a lot of people around the green watching. Like, hey, let's lock in, focus on your process, pull the trigger, let the rest happen.
So at that moment, were y'all aware of, like, the score, like how close it was? Okay.
Well, I'm that guy. I'm doing the life score. So I know every guy on the field score since the first hole. So I kind of realized, like, how many shots we back, how many shots we up for 5-6 hours,
yeah,
to be honest.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's a pretty great finish. And I just want to talk about some of the other players that finished too. Dupuy finished 7th, Cameron Clark 19, Robbie Ladder at 28. Just as a whole, coach, you know, how are you evaluating this performance and individually what you like from your team?
So we've got a lot of talent. We've got a lot of depth this year. We've talked about that in amongst our team. Last year's program was very successful, and it was kind of a good breakout for the program, and we've been building to that for quite some time. Last year, it just seemed like, man, we're always knocking on the door. When's the door going to open up? You know, when's it going to open for us? And as you guys know, in golf, it's just very difficult to win. As Pat said, he played against, what, 125 players in this tournament, and it's very difficult to beat that many people. You have to play some very stellar golf. So the players that we have, you know, we've got 3 all-conference players coming back this year with Pat, Ryan Dupuy, and Robbie Ladder. All 3 of these guys are proven all-conference players in our previous conference that we were in. Cameron Clark has been a huge addition to the program. He was a transfer that came in from that one of those other schools up north in Mississippi. So, yeah, that maroon school up yonder. But anyway, I've known Cameron since he was 16 years old. I recruited him really, really heavily out of high school. And then when the whole COVID situation happened, he decided he wanted to get his master's degree. We were able to scoop him back up and get him down here. And you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but since he stepped foot on campus and put a black and gold uniform on, which has been since January of this year, he has not shot a round of par, over par, since he's been in Hattiesburg.
Wow.
So he's a very huge addition to our program as well. The other guys, Cam Guidry, Bennett Ruby, Walker Wise, and Tommy Ladder, all great players, all some of the top-ranked juniors, whether it be from their state or their countries. These guys are huge for us as well, so we need to see if we can get them developed and get them to help contribute to our team's success. But we've got a lot of talent this year.
Coach, just kind of talking about your team, you mentioned off-air how important that 2019 recruiting class was. I believe Pat was involved there. Mm-hmm. So how important is that as they mature, as they're now underclassmen, how does that kind of shape your program?
So that recruiting class, and to be kind of going back, which I know, Pat, you know about this, but so Pat and Robbie were our 2 freshmen of that 2019 recruiting class. It takes time to have an impact as freshmen when they come into collegiate golf, but they were actually the number 5 ranked recruiting class in the country for that year as freshmen that contributed to their team's success. So to be a top 5 recruiting class in the country, that's fantastic. Then you throw in Bryce Wilkinson in there, and then you got the total package. Because Bryce ended up with the career scoring average for Southern Miss Golf in his 3 years here. That's huge. Because of what those guys have done to this point has helped our team be in a better spot for future success. And as I said, when's the door going to open up? You know, well, it opened up this week for us. And, you know, as we leave to go to Wake Forest this Saturday, hopefully it'll open up again for us.
Pat, going off of that, just being with lots of these guys for a couple of years now, and just since you've come to Southern Miss, you know, how have you seen the team grown just with your teammates and individually?
Oh, my team's going great. I mean, other guys, great dudes, and practice so hard. They all kind of push each other to their peak of performance. Like, we all brotherhood, and team's going well.
Of course. So, Coach and Pat, just what's to look forward to with this men's golf team right now, just starting out so hot on the season?
Well, we've got a good schedule ahead. We leave this Saturday. Like I said, we go to Wake Forest.
Game in the Bahamas, right?
Yeah, we want to ask about Bahamas.
So, yeah, and look, I remember when I was in school, that trip for Hawaii, when Coach made us qualify for it, you know, we were out to shed blood on each other, qualifying to see who was going to get to go to Hawaii. So I get it, but it's a great schedule we've got. It will be caboosed with the Bahamas trip. Great field there. I know Duke will be in that field, so we'll get a chance to play against them. Sam Houston State host is VCU over there, so there'll be about 12 teams in that field. But leading into that, we've got Wake Forest this week. Stellar field. You've got Penn State, Cincinnati, Kansas State, Wake Forest, who's always a national championship contender. So, you know, we're going to see some great competition there. I've got a couple weeks off. We go to the West Coast. So we'll cover coast to coast, and we'll go over to Oregon State for their tournament, play some West Coast teams, come back, be a little bit more local. We'll have 2 days to turn around, and then we hop up to Little Rock to play against their tournament or play against their field at Chenal Country Club.
And what about having the Sun Belt Conference Championship? No, I know I'm jumping way ahead, but, you know, what's that like to have it in Mississippi this year?
I mean, it's great by, like, a fan base. We have a big family of guys that live in Meridian. You see Meridian, Bryce?
Yeah. Well, Madison.
Madison.
Yeah.
Madison, I'm sorry. It's going to be a good crowd over there. And it's just, I went half a ways from Hattiesburg. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and so that's something that we knew that the Sun Belt was coming open for bid, and obviously a lot of people don't understand, but it has to be a neutral site. So we can't just go host the Sun Belt Conference Championships at our home golf course, because then we'd have to give up the rights to be able to play that course for a year, being that it's a neutral site. Think of baseball as Omaha. You know, that's what we want to recreate with this, to make it where it's pretty much fair and kind of an open game for everybody. Otherwise, you know, you could be a 10 seed, but a 10 seed in our sport on your home golf course, you're not a 10 seed.
So, you know the course.
But we do hope to make it very similar to, say, when baseball was at the MGM Park down there where the Shuckers play. We want to make it feel like a home game for us.
Coach, before we get you out of here, and Pat, any last words?
No, appreciate you guys having us on. It's fantastic. You know, thanks for what you do. Thanks for promoting Southern Miss Athletics, and appreciate your time.
Appreciate your time.
Yes. Thank you so much for y'all.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that has been head men's golf coach Eddie Brescher and Pat Ratnanayan, who just won the Jim Rivers Intercollegiate Tournament.
The man.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Thank you.
So we will be back in a few with our flower section, and we'll be back. This is 4th Street.
This is the 4th Street Sports Show on Southern Miss Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the show. We're now giving flowers.
Welcome to our flowers section of 4th Street. Ladies and gentlemen,
And we have a new 4th Street Player of the Week, as always, but it's staying in the same wide receiving family, guys, here on Southern Miss. So, drum roll, please. Your new 4th Street Player of the Week is Jacarius Caston with 6 receptions for 94 yards and 2 TDs, guys. So congratulations to Caston on his stellar play against Northwestern State in the Southern Miss football 64-10 blowout.
He's got to come past get his Saturday. Flowers.
He has to go come get them. Dima, show the camera. And for the people that don't know, Dima is showing the camera the flowers that we have for him. For
it smells him. So Caston, good.
Like, we have flowers for you,
presented to you by none other than University Florist on Highway 49. Another beautiful arrangement. So yes. Hopefully, Jacarius, you can come get him, or, you know, get him to your lady or whatever. Maybe Zach will hear Ty Keys again.
Whatever you want to do, but they are yours. They are yours, so congratulations to him. But let's move on to some more honorable mentions and flowers. Also, I just want to say, just again, congratulations and thank them for coming on. And the men's golf team and head coach Eddie Brescher and Pat Ratnanayan coming on with us and talking to us with them winning their tournament this past week, the Jim Rivers tournament hosted by Louisiana Tech. So congratulations to them again. And Pat was also one of our finalists for 4th Street Player of the Week. He did not win, but I think he would candidate for 4th Street Player of the Week. It is definitely hard to win a golf tournament, guys. So
yeah, some a fan actually commented saying, you know how difficult it is. So
it is.
Yeah. It's very difficult.
I could barely even get the ball to the fairway.
Oh, gosh, I can't imagine.
I don't even know what it is, like 18 yeah. holes 3 days in a row.
Oh. Well, we got a lot of honorable mentions to
we
get into.
A whole scroll, guys.
Because somebody also said, what about Swayze Bozeman? And it was like, we were talking, we're like, man, do we leave Swayze off of it? But we were like, that is a breakout game for Caston. And he ended up winning, so congrats to him. But Swayze just scored that defensive touchdown in the game from a strip sack by Dominic Huon. And, I mean, he also led the team, I think, 8 tackles. So, I mean, I was watching him. He was reading plays before pre-snap. So, just a great game for him. And what about Natron Brooks, y'all?
Oh, my God.
I mean, he just earned Sun Belt Conference Special Teams Player of the Week. And I thought it was interesting that he is only trailing Alabama's Kool-Aid McKinstry for most punt yards, return yards in the nation.
When I was tweeting out that game, and Jackson, Northwestern State was punting back to Southern Miss. I'd always like be typing out like, okay, Southern Miss can get the ball at their own 30-yard line or whatever. But then I'd have to delete that because Natron Brooks would take it past the 50. It would be, you know, Northwestern State's yard line. So no matter what the punter did, Natron Brooks was getting it, you know, 20
yes,
yards almost every time.
On almost every time. And I was like, man, he is going to take one
Speaking
of these
to break
back.
One.
And, man, he got pretty close
he
on
got,
a couple of
them. There was
them.
One that I thought
yes,
he got.
I thought he was out of there. They got a couple leg tackles on him to slow him down. But he definitely had a stellar game, especially just punt returning. And just all-around game from just special teams. Shout out to Mason Hunt, too, right, Charlie?
Yeah, he was named to the Ray Guy Award Punter of the Week list. It's 8, and then tomorrow they're going to announce the winner. He had a 44.3-yard average, and all of his punts, I think 4 punts, were within the 20, including a 53-yarder to the 6-yard line and then 1 to the 2-yard line. So having all of your punts within the 20 and then having, you know, 2 of them within the 10, that's impressive.
Very.
So also, just want to say, too, about Natron. I thought it was interesting. 7 punt returns is the most in program history. You'd think it was kind of more, but it did seem like he was really active. And I just want to point out, 145 is the second most in program history.
Yeah, and I just want to give a shout-out to Matt Wallner. He made his debut for the Minnesota Twins this week. Golden Eagle fans and Twins fans alike have been pleading, begging for him to get the call to the big leagues this year. And he did not disappoint in his debut game. He had a solo home run off of Shane Bieber.
That's
who,
a goner.
I don't know if he's won a Cy Young, but he's certainly been in contention before. He's an ace pitcher. In 3 games, he has 3 hits, 2 singles, a .267 average as they lost their series against the Guardians. Kurt McCarty on the Guardians as well. So we wish Matt Wallner nothing but the best in the future.
I'd also like to say, I know we mentioned Swayze Bozeman, but I don't know if we give an honorable mention to the entire Southern Miss defense in the game on Saturday with, like, two first downs in the entire first half. Like, I didn't even know if Northwestern State was going to get a first down in the whole game. So, really good play by the entire defense and Coach Armstrong.
Yes, they started out strong. It was a total of seven straight three and outs, guys. That's, I mean, I don't care what team it is. That is hard to do.
That's very hard
to
do.
And that was just very, very phenomenal. And like we said also early in the show, just condolences to Coach Armstrong and his will to come back with the team after his mother died. So I just want to say, again, prayers to him. But this defense came prepared to play, and he definitely was the key component to it. And they played phenomenal. And I can't wait to see what goes on against Tulane. But, yeah.
And then our last flower before we close out, I was on the field, got to see it. We posted a picture from it. It was a really cool moment after the game this weekend. Stonelot took his shirt off. He still had an undershirt on at USM, and he was like yelling, and the whole team crowd surfed him. It was pretty awesome. Just wanted to throw that out there. He brought the energy to the game.
He always brings the energy.
Yes, he always brings the energy. Stonelot is the guy, man, and he's a special guy, cool guy too. So shout out to Stone, man, if you're listening, man. Shout out to him. But without further ado, guys, any last remarks or any last things we want to do before we close out here?
I'm just glad I'm back. I missed the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's good to be back from the club.
Tell us, how was the strip club?
I'm sorry, man, if your girlfriend got upset at you for me saying that.
That's for the special. We're going to say that for
the special pod. We'll have a full breakdown of
Dima's analysis
and my girlfriend's reaction.
Oh, my God. Immediate reaction. But without further ado, guys, that has been 4th Street. No, I'm not going to do the screech this week. Okay. I'll save it. So, without further ado, we will be back next week. Make sure, as always, to check us out on Mondays at 5. Also, go view us on Southern Miss Student Media on our podcast, and also be sure to check out our special podcast that is set to air always on Thursday. On Friday. Oh, correction. Thank you, Dima. So, set to air on Friday as we give our predictions against Tulane coming up. Should be interesting as we travel to New Orleans, baby. And Dima is traveling to Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, I'm taking the week off this week. So.
Of course, you definitely deserve it. But without further ado, that has been 4th Street Sports. And enjoy your day, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back Mondays at 5. 4th Street, baby.
3, 2, 1. This has been the 4th Street Sports Show. Tune in next Monday at 5.